Greetings. I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Jamie DeMarco, who's state-level carbon pricing coordinator for the Citizens Climate Lobby. And Jamie's here today to talk to us about climate change and how it affects Baltimore and what we can do about it. So, Jamie, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for coming. You are doing a lot of good work for all of us, and I'm glad you could take time off to come. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us a little bit about the Citizens Climate Lobby?
The Citizens Climate Lobby is an organization that believes that the solution to climate change is democracy. Mm-hmm. That if we get together and have civil, productive dialogue between each other and across political warfare lines, there's common ground. And we actually all want clean air. We all want clean water. We all want a livable planet. And we can find solutions that better everyone.
Yeah, I agree. But it's a tall order.
It's not easy. You know, sometimes it's easier to stand outside of a door and shout about what you want than it is to go inside and actually sit down and talk with the person with whom you disagree.
Yeah, yeah. How can someone find out more information?
So you can go to Citizens Climate Lobby. Every single Wednesday, we have a new person call. So if you want to learn more, then whenever this is airing on Wednesday, there will be a call where you can get on and learn more about the Citizens Climate Lobby. And you can get the information for that call by going to citizensclimatelobby.org.
Okay, great, great. And your job as state-level carbon pricing coordinator.
That's kind of a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't had many people on this show with that kind of title.
I think we could cut three words from that title.
But, you know, once again, I'm the executive director of the Greater Baltimore Community Housing Resource Board. So.
And how do you say that acronym?
CHERUB, which I guess is something to aspire to, it's religious connotations.
Oh, CHERUB. Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, but not the little candies, though, but, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, what is your job and background with the organization?
So it's my job to help states pass bold climate legislation. Mm-hmm. We know that right now Congress is having a lot of trouble doing anything, particularly solving the climate crisis. And we're working on that and we're making progress, but we can't wait around. We need to have states like Maryland lead. So I work with states all across the country to pass strong climate legislation.
Mm-hmm. So you spend a lot of your time working with folks.
Yeah, working with folks and getting people to call their legislators. That's one of the biggest things I do. I mean, we often think that legislators are bought by big money, that they are going to do what they're going to do no matter what we say. And while there is some truth to that, what's more true is that legislators respond when they're contacted by the people who they represent. And if a legislator gets five calls about an issue in one day, mm-hmm. especially if they're a state legislator where their districts are smaller, that's a lot of calls. So if you get yourself and four friends to call your legislator about something that you care about, that office and that legislator at the end of the day is going to go, wow, our people really care about this. We have to do something about this.
Yeah, right. We're getting a flood of calls.
A flood of calls. Yeah, I know. Four in the last 2 days.
Yeah, wow. Wow. That's something for folks to remember, because regarding any issue, that's the way. Well, that is the way that democracy should work.
It should work, and that's a lot of what our organization is dedicated to. We're dedicated to solving the crisis of climate change, but we're also dedicated to building a more civically engaged and democratically productive society, where everyday citizens are lobbying, not just corporate lobbyists, but citizen lobbyists are going to their lawmakers and sitting down and talking about issues. There was a study that was done recently mm-hmm. looking at what changes a legislator's point of view. If a legislator or a lawmaker believes something, what makes them believe something else? And the number one thing that makes that happen is an in-person meeting with their constituents. If you go to your lawmaker and meet face-to-face and tell them what you want, why you want, in a compelling, compassionate, and respectful way, that more than anything can compel them to change their stance.
As well it should. Because they are representative of us.
Mm-hmm. And they're people. I mean, just like if you see someone face-to-face tell a compelling story, that sticks with you. You remember that as you fall asleep. So more than any emails, more than any fact sheets or data, a compelling in-person face-to-face meeting with a constituent changes people.
I guess aside from everything else, it's that physical presence as well as the passion as well as the... But the respect, as you said, has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Mutual respect.
Mutual respect. In all of our meetings, we open with something we're grateful for. If we disagree on 100 things, we'll find the 101st thing that we agree on and thank them. And if we can't find anything, we say thank you for meeting with us. but we always open with gratitude.
Right. Now, how's that been working in Maryland?
It's been working really well. We've had huge success. And a lot is going on in Maryland right now. It's particularly in Baltimore. A child growing up in Baltimore is twice as likely to develop asthma as a child growing up outside of Baltimore. And as someone who grew up in Baltimore, I remember on the soccer field, my friends not being able to get to the other side because they were wheezing. And at the same time, we're seeing the effects of unprecedented rainfall, not only in Ellicott City, but in Baltimore City, where 2600 in St. Paul Street, we all remember just 2 or 3 years ago, a whole street collapsed.
Right.
And there were cars parked on the street because you park your car on the street and then you go to pick up your car at the end of the day and you see it at the bottom of a ditch. This is not normal. We are having July was the hottest month ever in recorded history. The hottest ever. And that hot air carries more water. So that is leading to unprecedented rainfalls. Storms that are supposed to happen every 1,000 years are starting to happen right here at home once every 10 years or 5 years.
And everybody's noticing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not just a regular summer.
No. Yeah. It's not just. It's hot.
It's not just a, it's not just a typical wavelength either. It's not, it's not a cycle.
Sustained.
It's sustained and it's, as you said, more extreme now.
But at the same time that we're seeing these new devastational climate effects in Baltimore, we're also seeing new opportunities open up. Just last week, TradePoint Atlantic, which builds windmills, announced that it is going to build a new facility at Sparrows Point, where we had a steel mill retire and is now abandoned. That property is going to be repurchased and refurnished by a company that builds windmills.
Wow.
So these are the jobs of the future coming back to Baltimore through the clean energy economy.
And they're manufacturing jobs.
Manufacturing jobs, building the windmills themselves.
Aside from everything else, that puts a good number of folks back to work.
That puts a lot of people back to work. So we can have cleaner water, we can have cleaner air, and we can put ourselves back to work.
Wow. Let's talk about some of your specific things here that you've proposed. One is the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. Now, I guess since carbon's part of your title, that would be something you'd be in the middle of, huh?
Right. So we have, our organization has led the introduction of a bill in Congress. So members of Congress down in D.C. have introduced a bill that would it would do a few things. It would reduce all of our greenhouse gas pollution 40% in 12 years and 90% by 2050. It would also put more money back in people's pockets. It would improve our air. And do you want to know the most incredible thing about this bill? It does incredible things. It does unbelievable things. But the most incredible and unbelievable part of it is that it has bipartisan support. There is Republican and Democratic support for this bill in Congress.
Wow, that's got to be one of the few, huh?
One of the few. And I think the only bill of this size, ambition, and magnitude that does so many good things and has bipartisan support. And that is what you can accomplish when you assume good intentions in your negotiating partner and sit down and have a productive conversation.
Yeah. And do you want to point out any specific legislators that have been important in helping that get along?
I mean, we've got many here in Maryland. Jamie Raskin is on it. So is Rupersberger and John Delaney, who, of course, is running for president, but used to represent Maryland, are all co-sponsors of this bill. We're also really grateful to Congressman Deutsch and Congressman Delaney, and Congressman Rooney, who were the two lead sponsors of this bill.
Great. Let's talk about the last Annapolis session.
Yeah.
How was it and what remains to be done?
So in this past Maryland legislative session, we passed the biggest, strongest clean energy bill in the history of Maryland. It has taken Maryland since 2000 to get to where we are to today, we have about, I think, like 1.9% in state solar generation. Under this bill we passed, by the end of this year, by the end of 2019, we will have 5.5% in state solar generation.
Over tripling it.
Yeah. Wow. So we're taking 2 decades of work and nearly tripling it in less than a year. And that is the kind of rapid ambition that we need around clean energy in this country. And at the same time, the bill we passed is the first bill in the country that specifically funds clean energy businesses owned by women and people of color and veterans. So this is actively saying that as we build a new clean energy economy, we want to make sure that African Americans and other minorities are have ownership of this industry, are not just the workers in this industry, but the ones building the new businesses that are going to go to scale.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. What needs to be done?
So that bill is passed. It's law. Governor Hogan chose not to veto it, so it will take effect officially in very soon. And what needs to be done is we need to keep passing new laws in Maryland. When we go back to the next legislative session, we need to pass another bill that's going to put hundreds of millions of dollars into clean energy development in our state that'll accomplish things like revitalizing Sparrows Point and Baltimore City. And that'll also make the polluters who have caused this mess and deceived us about it for decades, they will be the ones to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. As is fair.
As is fair.
Yeah. Yeah. As is only right. As is only right. What can our listeners do to help?
Our listeners can do a lot to help. One is to go to citizensclimatelobby.org and find out more. And there is a group meeting near you. Our organization has more than 500 chapters across the country. Mm-hmm. So if you do the math, that's more than 10 to every state. And we have a lot right here in Baltimore.
Oh, great. So
you should go to that website, and that is where you can find the people who are meeting on a monthly basis near you, doing the hard work of doing democracy and getting work done. But you should also call your member of Congress. If you don't know your member of Congress's name or your state legislator's name, the number one thing you can do is find out their name. And then if you're doing your job really well, they'll know your name.
Ah, right, right, right. And they'll start paying attention to what you say.
Yeah, that's a common refrain within our organization is that before you join Citizens Climate Lobby, you don't know the name of your legislator. But after you join Citizens Climate Lobby, your legislator knows your name.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's the level of engagement that we're looking for.
How can someone, just some basic stuff here, how can someone find out the name of their legislator?
I mean, Google, what's my legislator? What's my member of Congress? Uh-huh. What's the name of my state legislator? And that,
I guess you might have to put in your address or something.
Yeah, if you Google it, then you'll find a website. One of the first links will be a website that if you enter your address, they will spit out who your legislator is.
Great.
Google's great. Amazing like that.
Yeah, as well as Bing and all the other competitors. Yes, we're not. Getting any commercial.
I'm not a plant
back here. Yes, quite. We got about a minute left, Jamie. What would you add?
The thing I want to add is that the climate crisis is here, and we need to address it. Mm-hmm. The International Panel on Climate Change has told us that we have now about 11 years. To cut our emissions in half, or we are going to be locked into unacceptable levels of catastrophic climate change. We have been putting this off for decades, and we need to take bold, ambitious action now that will clean our air, clean our water, and create millions of good jobs in the process.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And could you give us the contact information one more time for how our listeners can help?
Yeah, you should go to citizensclimatelobby.org. Uh-huh. You should follow us on Twitter, @CitizensClimate, and also on Facebook, Citizens Climate Lobby.
Okay, so that's Citizens Climate, spelled out, .org.
Mm-hmm. Citizens Climate Lobby, I believe, .org.
CitizensClimateLobby.org.
Okay. And the Twitter account is @CitizensClimate.
Citizens Climate. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, for Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank our guest, Jamie DeMarco, who's state-level carbon pricing coordinator for Citizens Climate Lobby. Jamie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
I appreciate that.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.